Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with host Doc Martin. Stay tuned in or call in. You won't want to miss what's happening next. How do you step into your maximum potential? How do you connect your spiritual drive with your physical path? Stick around as Doc Martin takes listeners on a journey through the seen and unseen, the accepted and the unbelievable. Get ready to meet the maximum you the world needs on Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin now. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sharon Martin, Maximum Medicine Radio. And I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Allison Normore, and I call her Allie. I've known her for, what, Allie, 15 years, maybe?
2004, we met.
Holy moly. That shows a little bit of our age, doesn't it? Well, Allie's here because you guys who are listening know that when I say maximum medicine, I'm really talking about the things that heal us on all levels, not just taking a pill, not just getting a shot, not just having an operation, not that kind of locked into the physical, but the stuff that feeds our hearts, our souls, our minds, and an expanded view of medicine. And so I like to talk about some of the things that may be considered more in the spiritual or metaphysical realm, but that I think really, really are healing to us. And I want to introduce Allie to you because she does a phenomenal job of teaching about the subject we're going to talk about today, and that's shamanism. Allie is a family therapist. She has a doctorate in family therapy and human development. Am I saying that right, Allie?
Family relations.
Family relations. And she worked with troubled kids at one time. And then what we're going to talk about today, and what I want Allie to step in and say, we, each of us in our own times in our lives, hit a place where what we were surrounded by didn't feed us, it didn't nurture us, it didn't fill us up in that way that you feel when you're filled up and you feel expanded and ready to just take life on and be full of it. And Allie, when was that for you? When did you start to know that you had a hunger for something more?
Good question. For me, it started, I think, in graduate school. I was in the midst of remaking my life. My long-term relationship, my marriage had ended. And that suddenly freed me up. I was attending university. But suddenly I was freed up in many ways to travel. So I could leave my home province and pursue graduate school, which is what I did. And it also freed up other things in me as well. So I got exposed to, you know, new opportunities, new workshops, new spiritual teachers. But ultimately, I think my journey really started during my first week in graduate school. And I was attending a workshop that was supposed to give us tools to cope with the stresses of graduate school. So I was in a big auditorium with a prof who was leading us in a meditation. And in that meditation, she invited us to go to this inner meadow. And that in that inner meadow where we were instructed, you know, this would be a place that we could go, like an inner sanctuary whenever we felt, you know, overwhelmed or confused. Well, you know, something unexpected happened in that inner meadow, and somebody showed up there that I, you know, wasn't prompted by the meditation leader. It wasn't suggested. It just happened. And so into that meadow came this older woman. That started a whole new relationship for me with this wise old woman, or WOW, I called her for short. But in some ways, it just, you know, the mystery of how that happened and why opened me up to, you know, learning more. I wanted to learn more about those inner landscapes that that just, you know, had now my appetite had been whetted. So that was probably the big thing.
And, you know, probably the same sort of thing happened to me, because that hunger and knowing that something deep was missing brought about, again, unknown, unplanned, unexpected, some, I would say, woo-woo moments for me, some psychic awarenesses, some messages that were too detailed in fact to dismiss. And I started asking myself, I think there's more. It seems like there's more. If you get a psychic vision that later turns out to be true, or you playfully, for me, I used to go and get a psychic reading from this elderly couple in downtown DC. And she would flip the tarot cards and she would tell me things, knowing only my first name, she would tell me things about myself with more detail of what was coming. And I always asked myself, if she knows this about me, and then she says other things, is she seeing some sort of universal truth? And if so, what? How do you access that truth? How do you find, give me more, give me more. So that was the beginning of my hunger. I want more. I want to know what's going on behind the scenes. I want to know if there's a divine plan. Tell me how to see it. Tell me how to at least know where it's coming from. I guess know is pretty strong of a word for a lot of these things. But so how did you then take that? What did you do? You started searching. How did you search?
I began taking workshops. Began reading, looking for books. I'd always been an intellectual explorer and had read a lot of things. I was really interested in spirituality and ancient cultures. And so, you know, so just feeding that, you know, when I could. I also started meditating and taking yoga classes. And when I started meditating, then my dreams, which I'd always had dreams, but not consistently, the dreams began to come more consistently and I began to record them. So, you know, all of that. And then that just, you know, then I wanted to learn more about dreams, like what were these, you know, powerful things that were happening at night. And as you said, you know, getting messages, through the dreams, or sometimes knowing there was something, you know, being conveyed to me, and I wanted to learn more. So like you, I just, the things that did happen, the synchronicities, and, you know, just noticing, you know, how things lined up, and the person I just happened to meet, all these kind of synchronistic encounters made me very curious. And I too wanted to learn more. I wanted to know what this was, how this could happen, and what it was all about. What did it really mean?
And I think sometimes there'll be a listener who's saying, well, I never get that. So maybe I'm just not equipped for this, or this will never happen for me. And I think the thing that I've learned is, if you really pay attention to the little stuff that you used to not be aware of, and you start to bring it forward into your awareness, and allow it to have at least importance enough for you to look at it, mm-hmm. you'll find, and I say you speaking to the listeners, you'll find that you're getting synchronistic messages all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that. Mm-hmm. For me, I used to, with my sister, gosh, this was long ago, I won't tell you because then everybody will know how old I am. My sister and I read the Seth books, and we were fascinated by that, the channeling of that wise entity. Then we used to read Edgar Cayce, and my grandmother and mother were both very psychic. So we knew there was something deeper. But what really clicked one day, I was reading Alberto Viodo's book, shaman, healer, and sage. And I loved the indigenous stories. And on the cover is a picture of him, and I saw something clicked in his eyes. And that's perhaps what they say in the Shakti. I could know something. And I was immediately called, and that's how I ended up meeting you, is at our, we had begun the training in the Four Winds. So that's when we both sort of perhaps stumbled or were curious and walked our way to shamanism, and we met each other. And then it's been a wonderful connection ever since. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Allie, I want to talk more about shamanism. We're going to take a short break here, but you and I both were either led to it or stumbled upon it, or curiosity brought us down the path. And we landed on something that I think I can safely say for you and me has fed our hunger and has fed it in a very nourishing way. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, let's talk about shamanism and what it is and what it means. So we'll just take a break for just a sec. We'll be back in a minute.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. Move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
And you're listening to an episode about the hunger for shamanism. And I'm here with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Allison Normore. Allie, tell the listeners how they can learn more about you and how to get in touch with you, your website.
Okay, my website is AllisonNormore.com, and that's Allison with one L, A-L-I-S-O-N. Normore, NORMORE.com. And I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So you could connect with me through any of those social media platforms. And you can email me at allison@allisonnormore.com or through my website. There's also a little app there that you can send me a message. I'll get right back to you.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Do you drive yourself crazy trying to make important decisions? And when you finally do, then you start second-guessing yourself. Would you like to know why you do this and how to change it? You can. When you take time to go inward, you'll find a wisdom that resides in the body. Begin by quieting your mind and sending your awareness into your body. Notice where there may be a discomfort. Ask it what it wants you to know. Listen carefully. It will reveal what it is about making this decision which holds you back. You can keep asking for information until you reach the deep core value of what keeps you from comfortably making a decision and sticking with it. Awareness is the first step toward making change. I'm Carrie Kadambi, and I'd love for you to join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit my website, thedivineguidancegift.com.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something, but you couldn't explain how you knew it? How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christel Biga, When Success Feels Easy, every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Oh my gosh, technology. My Zoom completely crashed, totally and completely. So you guys, I hope you can see Allie. And we're just going to keep talking, and hopefully you can hear me in this high-tech world. So, Allie, let's get back to what we really care about, not this crazy technology. What is shamanism to you?
Shamanism, to me, is the understanding of the intelligence, of the consciousness, of the whole of the natural world. And when I say natural world, I mean, you know, the physical world, and particularly, you know, the trees and the plants and the mountains and the rivers. And that is, you know, that concept called animism by academics means that, you know, everything is animated with life force energy, however, you know, you understand that. And to the ancients and to our ancestors, that just was intuitive and obvious because they lived so close to the earth and to nature. But in our Western world, we've become, because of technology and science, we've become increasingly distant, you know, with all our conveniences and comforts. And so that, you know, idea now seems strange to our Western minds.
But you know, it's interesting because I remember years ago, you may remember, there was a public service ad that talked about how we humans had hit a nature deficit disorder. So we knew, or we have known for some time now, that as we got more technical and using more of our intellect and our brain as opposed to our other senses, we were missing things. We had deficits. And I think that's, for me, where the hunger came from. For me, and it's not just the animals and the trees, although believe me, I am so in love with all of that. It's that sense, and I learned this starting in the Four Winds. I learned to increase my awareness. There's the, for me, the sense of the intelligence behind the actions and movements of everything, of the forces, and that there is something deeper. It's not just an object out there to beautify our view of the landscape. What else did you find when we took the Four Winds? What other things did shamanism bring into your life?
It brought a lot of things. Oh boy. I mean, it completely turned my world upside down, really. Turned it on its head, literally, which it needed, obviously. The opportunity and the technologies, the ancient technologies of indigenous cultures for healing, as you started out with today, talking about how, you know, in the West we equate healing with Western medicine, but you know, our forefathers and our ancestors knew more natural ways of healing, both with, you know, the plants and the elements around them, but also understanding the subtle energy field that is, you know, our own luminous energy field and the energy fields around everything, around, you know, all life. So the opportunity to do my own healing work, to begin to work with my own luminous energy field, began, you know, shedding the old stories and the wounds and the traumas of not just this lifetime, but of many lifetimes. I mean, that became a whole journey on its own and was a key part of the Four Winds training, as you know, as we became certified in energy medicine. In light body energy medicine. So that was,
and you know, I think I think the other thing that's perhaps even more of an integral part is when you actually were taught how to understand the levels of your awareness, to pay attention to it, then to cultivate the broad spectrum of that, mm-hmm. and then to sense it in other things that may even be unseen.
Yes.
And there's a depth in that where you really work your capacity to have awareness that all of a sudden the signals, the messages, the communication, the information field just explodes in front of you. And for me, that richness specifically, and you know, everybody can tell a story of troublesome childhoods. And, you know, I have mine. But in that childhood, I felt very much alone, very much disconnected from my parents, very much not even sure how did I often had this thought when I was 12 or 13 years old, how did I land in this place? But when I started with Four Winds and over the years since then, when I have seen that if you have awareness, and to allow your consciousness to actually focus on that awareness and then start to see the different facets and perspectives, that for me was glorious, glorious expansion. And then I didn't feel alone because I could feel the depth and the intelligence of things that I previously had never imagined.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, some of the most important concepts and skills for me during those times of learning were about the different levels of reality and how you can tap into those, as well as you've already explained, to tap into your own different ways of knowing and how you can, you know, track, we use the word tracking, you know, track energy, how you can perceive the subtle realms that are, as you say, not immediately obvious or visible. And in fact, that, you know, our rational mind and our culture would say don't even exist. And so, you know, I love that. The fact that the word shamanism, the word shaman actually means one who knows or one who can see in the dark. So that opening up of perception and finding other ways into this invisible realm, and how you, you know, can navigate and perceive using your ordinary senses as well as your extraordinary senses. That, yeah, that was a deep dive for me too. That just, you know, that was so exciting and so much fun. It was like, wow, how many times we'd be.
And
like,
when you do it, let me just take a moment to interrupt for a second. David, we're going to skip the breaks till the end. So Allie, I want to talk a little bit more about this, and then I want to spend the final time we have with you helping the listener pick a few key things that they can start to do by themselves already that can be the beginning. But anyway, so now I'll come back. One of the things that when I first had my, oh my gosh, there is intelligence and information in this unseen world. When we did the experience of the stone messages, so I'll just share with the listeners, we sat down with people in our class, and there was a group of three of us, and we had three stones. And we sat across from each other. We didn't know each other from Adam other than our names, but, you know, we had all come from different places. And we had to take the stone, and sitting before another member of the class, listen to the message the stone told us about the person. And we would look at the markings on the stone and, you know, feel it, sense it in any way that came to us. Well, I sat across someone and I looked down at this stone, and it was kind of a gray brown stone, you know, most stones are, and it had a few white streaks in it. And I saw kind of like little markings on the thing that looked like a boat lost at sea. And I said, and so I just started talking. I just started talking about what I saw. And this is where that you know that expression, suspend disbelief. Well, I threw disbelief out the window. So I got out of my head and I just said, well, let's just play this game. And I said, there's a boat tossed around at sea, totally turbulent. There's fear. There's this, there's that. But you can see the boat is heading in the direction. You see the waves are clearer over here. So everything's going to be okay. This turbulence anyway, the person starts crying. They had just had a dream where they saw themselves on a boat about to capsize in a big storm at sea. And that's the way they felt their life was going. Well, you know, that was a woo-woo moment that you kind of go, wow. Mm-hmm. But what it really felt at that time when it happened amongst many interactions in the class that day, and it went on to happen over and over in other ways. That was a taste of your ability to know if you just allow yourself out of your human head to join up, and I say it in this language now that I have, what I didn't have then, to join up on the rhythms of the universal force. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just float into there, and the information that's available to you is outstanding, you know, just amazing, unbelievable. So anyway, that's what I think is accessible to everybody in the reconnecting to what we indigenous cultures, we think of shamanism, perhaps of Mongolian or perhaps of Native American or maybe Peruvian, but all indigenous cultures had this. The Celtics had it. The Aborigines have it. So it is available to us to go backwards in time, to grab some of the things that our ancestors used and bring them forward, because we need it today. We are hungry for it, because that component of our lives is a little bit defective, I think, a little scanty. Mm-hmm. So Allie, tell us, we have about 15 minutes left. Let's talk, if you would share with people, first of all, you have a course. I want you to tell them about your course. And then I'd like you to start sort of giving them the basics of what they can bring into their lives starting right now.
Okay, well, I am teaching a course online, a free 5-week course in December. It actually began last night, but you can still register. And you can register for this course by going to my website, www.allisonnormore.com. And the course is called Waking the Dreamer, Am I a Shaman? And it's designed to give you an introduction, like shamanism is a vast body of work. So in this 5-week course, you can dip your toe in and get a taste of some of the core principles and practices on the shamanic path. So I invite people to do that. You can also find me on Facebook and register through my Facebook page, Allison Normore, PhD. There's so much of this, and I share this in my introductory courses, the ways that we can be reconnecting with those, you know, ways of knowing, those deeper, I call them the more feminine left, right brain, because we are so, socialized in our culture to use our left brain, our logical language brain. And these other capacities are intuitive knowing, our emotional sensitivity and empathic abilities are connected with our right brain. I'm a developmentalist, so you know that's part of how I understand and put some context around. We all have those capabilities. We all have left and right brains, but one part of our brain has been developed in more in Western culture than our right brain. So these are all inherent capacities we have. And I love what you said earlier. You know, sometimes it's like you got to give yourself permission, right, to suspend belief and or the, you know, the beliefs that you've taken on from the culture, from your family, and just play, right? Just like try it and see what happens. So, you know, some very simple, powerful things that you can do you know, when you're out in nature, begin or make some effort to have conversation, you know, and you might feel a little silly talking to a tree, but try it and see what happens. And it's like, you know, meditating, anything that you can do to slow yourself down, to relax and to soften and to open to some deeper awareness. You really do need to give yourself that kind of space. and see what happens. So one of the practices that I one of the practices I give my students to do in this course is to, once a day when they're outdoors, to, make a little offering. Put three leaves together. It's a Peruvian thing. We call it a kintu, a mini prayer bundle. Put three leaves together, blow a prayer into it. And the prayer could be, a request for guidance or support. And just leave it somewhere in nature. Tuck it under a rock or at the root of a tree or something. And just see what happens. It's like initiating contact. It's like saying hello. So that would be a really simple thing that you could do. Start a conversation, say, to the sky, hello sky, hello, hello world, hello mountains, hello tree, whatever it is that you have access to. So that's one thing you can do. Begin to open up to the possibility that nature is intelligent and is communicating with you as well.
So I want to add two things to that, because I love what you said. First of all, there are two key points in there that I think should be reiterated. I don't think we're quiet enough in our lives. I don't think we're in inner world enough. And I don't think we're in nature enough. So that does that. But in that space of going quiet, to me, I say it's allowing the whispers of your soul to be heard. Mm-hmm. And you have to quiet your logical mind. I'm a terrible meditator. I have to do a guided visualization. But when I'm given a job of go have a conversation, then that gives my human mind some yappity yap ideas to work with. And I can go then be deeper. But the other key component that I think is here is the willingness to dialogue. Mm-hmm. Because instead of, we humans tend to be a little bit arrogant. And we tend to think that we are the masters of this planet. And when you go to have a conversation with hello sky or how you doing tree, allowing yourself to listen to the response, it's in that receptive place of quiet, willingness to open to information coming in from outside of you, and the willingness to hear, it actually puts these elements, the sky, the trees, the plants, on a lateral footing with us, on an equal footing. And then it allows their messages to be heard as important. And I think that action, when you do that communication, as Ali's teaching you to do, that dialoguing with the key component of listening, mm-hmm. because then you are taking in the broader awareness. And that begins to build your capacity for hearing the whispers of not only your soul and your higher self, but the intelligence that's out there. Don't you think, Ali, that's a key thing?
I think it is. I think, we are so distracted and we keep ourselves so busy that spending that time coming inward and, as you say, listening to our own soul, listening, because there's, our soul or higher self, however you call that, that part of us that's connected with the divine, has to find ways to get through to us. And if we're, so busy and so distracted, where are the spaces? Well, one space is dream time. And that's what happened with me, because I was one of those busy, distracted, just monkey mind, that was me. I was not able to hear anything. And so wasn't giving myself space or time. So only when I burnt out before I realized I needed to slow down and I needed to make space in my life for quietness and stillness. And that's when things started tumbling in. So I can certainly testify to the importance of that, of giving yourself that space and that time, that stillness.
Right, right. And then you said something else. So I'd like to take this as another item that listeners could work on. And you said, you know, take three leaves and make a prayer bundle and put an offering down. Well, to me, that brings in the energy of gratitude. And Allie, let's talk for a few minutes about, because I find that energy of gratitude is, it can change you.
Yes.
Tell me what when you do your offerings and you get in that space of gratitude, how does that affect you?
Oh, you know, the path of, you know, if you do nothing else, I mean, and I don't think you have to go to shaman school or this is particularly shamanistic, just being grateful for your life, you know, that being open and seeing the beauty and the potential and the perfection and the order, you know, everything that nature is, how wise and intelligent, you know, how the seasons and the cycles, you know, just continue and have their rhythm and their order and, you know, their life and death cycles. Nature is a great teacher. And so when you slow down and begin to look and pay attention and cultivate a sense even of appreciation, you know, for nature, and if you don't even look outside your four walls for what you do have in your life, I think gratitude is the big game changer in anyone's life. You know, what the challenges, and everybody's got challenges in their life, but seeing what you do have to be grateful for, I think is the biggest thing that can happen, can completely transform your life.
And then I think there's a few, yes, I agree. And there's a few subtleties that perhaps are more shamanistic, if we want to link it to what we're talking about today more specifically. For me, when you do the act of making an offering to something, a tree, the earth, your power animal, which is a whole nother subject, the sky, to me, what that's also doing is saying, I am on equal footing, if not, I am bowing to your magnitude and your importance, and I am acknowledging your value. And right there, you are actually linking up. You have just cultivated an alliance. Mm-hmm. And if you continue in a sense, bowing, and you can just imagine, I kind of see that as, you know, some of the Asian monks bowing to each other, you are acknowledging the magnificence in what you're connecting with, that begins to cultivate the alliance. Mm-hmm. And for me, when you do that, then you begin to have these pals kind of in your phone book, you know, the phone book of the ethers, so to speak. You have your pals, and that's a deeper relationship. Once you acknowledge gratitude for the trees, that has just allowed them to have importance in your worldview. And I think that's a key, besides the space of complete calm and surrender, which I think is very beautiful and healing. And when you go into gratitude, but that cultivation of, you begin to have a pal that you're now going to recognize more often and therefore get more messages from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to what you started with earlier, the connection, you know, the reconnecting. I call it reweaving ourselves back into the circle of life, back into the web of life. And as we you know, reweave those connections, those energetic connections, you know, with that tree and that flower, or, you know, that particular place in the woods that you love to walk or go sit. And then, you know, we're reweaving ourselves, because, you know, where our time, where our energy goes, where our attention goes, you know, that's an energetic thread. And so every time many cultures, you know, tobacco is a sacred herb. You know, you put down some tobacco to say thank you, you know, for everything you've been given. And I think this is where, you know, we've gotten out of balance, right? We have, as you said, this arrogance. We think that, you know, we don't need anyone. We can, you know, with our technology and our science now, you know, we can be self-sufficient and independent. Well, I don't think so. You know, without nature and a healthy environment, you know, as we're being reminded of right now in this year, and without, you know, a healthy immune system, you know, we're not going to last here on this planet. You know, we have to change our ways. We have to start caring for and connecting again with the other forms of life that we share this planet with. And so I see that this is, you know, yes, one way to feel better and to be happier and healthier. But it also, there's some urgency attached to this. We need to do this if we're going to survive on this planet. I have to say
right.
that I really feel it.
Yeah. Right, right. So we have just a couple minutes left, and I wanted to mention one other concept that you and I both learned that was very powerful in our studies in the Four Winds, and which is a form of shamanism. And that is the concept of creating sacred space. Mm-hmm. And even if that might sound too grand, you don't have to make it grand. Mm-hmm. It can be, but as soon as you say with your deepest felt connection of heart and soul energy and say, you're making a boundary or a break in time from before I enter the space to now I'm entering it. It sets up an energetic of your whole system to then what you do in that space at the highest level of integrity. And it's a very powerful space to step into. And you can do that yourselves. The listeners can do that in anywhere you are. Like if you stop for just a minute and you call it sacred space, whatever you then do within it has higher integrity, higher intentionality. And that's something that everybody can do. And obviously you learn quickly. You don't call it sacred space if you're going to then do some sort of, I call it, the stuff that puts dirt on your soul, like be deceitful or manipulative or lie to yourself. So Ali, any comments in the last few minutes about sacred space?
Oh, I love that. I'd love to speak to that. It's one of my favorite things. There's a whole body of knowledge and wisdom. But for me, sacred space is about, again, acknowledging and connecting intentionally with the forces of creation and the forces that brought this whole universe and each of us into form, brought us here. And for many, in many traditions, including the one that we have been following, it's done, you think about the four directions and Mother Earth below us and sky above us, and then yourself in the middle as being the seventh direction. So in any way, I mean, there are beautiful prayers and you can, you know, find prayers to use. But, you know, it, as you say, what's most important is your sincerity and your, you know, your sincere desire to connect and to acknowledge these forces. And if this is something new, you know, it can be as simple as just turning around in a circle you know, to each of the four directions, north, south, east, and west, and just saying, you know, thank you. You know, I honor you. I call on your help. You know, I'm open to receive your help, your support, your guidance, your love. And so, you know, any way, there's, you know, not really no wrong way to do it. Light a candle, you know, if you like burning sage or incense, you know, you can do something, make a little ritual of connecting with that sacred space. I tend to do it first thing in the morning, which then, you know, puts a beautiful start to my day. But you can do it at any time. And particularly if you're dealing with some challenging personal issues, you know, you can open that space by acknowledging those forces of creation. You don't have to understand them, but this is very ancient wisdom. And so you can step into it. You can just step into it. You don't have to have any formal training. Feel your way through it's probably the best way.
Yes, wonderful, Allie. We're out of time. I'm sorry for the technical snafus. Thank you to my good friend, Dr. Allison Normore. Her website, Allison with one L, normore.com, and she has an online course just started that you may join, Intro to Shamanism. Allie, thank you so much for being here tonight. David, thank you for getting us through the technical glitches, and we'll be back next month with another episode of Maximum Medicine Radio. Good night, Allie. Thank you for being here.
Good night, Sharon. It was lovely. Always good to spend time with you.
You've been listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin. Tune in next time while the doc talks health, spirituality, and the impact your beliefs have on every part of who you are, body and soul. Doc Martin unpacks the challenges we face as human beings and teaches callers to open the door between the scientific and the mystical. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.sharonmartinmd.com.